Hey, good morning, everyone. It's a good morning to be with you this morning. I know that you can't be here physically, but I know you're all out there and you're joining me here in spirit. I just have a short message this morning, not going to be very long. Next week, we'll try to concentrate more on a longer study, but I just wanted to get some information to you. We are going to still try to meet throughout the week. I think it's important to stay connected. So if you can participate in any of these things that we have coming up, that would be great. It's good to have as many people as we can connected through the week. But we are going to have a prayer meeting this week. We had one last week, and it was great. It was good to pray with everyone, to cast our burdens on each other for sure. But the prayer meeting is going to be Tuesday night. It's going to be at 6 p.m., and we meet via conference bridge. So you can either do video conference or you can do the audio conference portion. It's nice to have the video conference just so we can see each other, and we're able to see everyone that joins on that. So it's really just a good time to see each other again when we've been away so long. But if you can join that, I'll send the link out to you. And as a matter of fact, I'll post it in the YouTube link with this video as well. And then also, so I'll have that link. And then Wednesday night is the women's Bible study, and this will also be via conference bridge. So we'll have that posted. That's going to be the same link, but we'll have it as a separate link in the YouTube portion underneath this video as well. But please join us for those things. Again, prayer meeting Tuesday night, 6 p.m., and then Wednesday night, women's Bible study at 6 p.m. But if you can make it, that would be great. And it's just good to see everybody again, or video-wise, you know, virtual. But this morning, I just want to talk briefly out of the book of Galatians. If you can turn in your Bibles, and I'll tell you, it's really strange just talking to no one, but I guess I do that plenty in my house. But anyway, Galatians chapter 2, and we're going to read verses 16 through chapter 3, verse 3. So I'll give you a second just to look that up in Galatians. Galatians 2, verses 16 through chapter 3, verse 3. Just a brief message this morning. But starting in Galatians 2, verse 16, it says, "Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ, and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. But if, while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves also are found sinners, is therefore Christ the minister of sin? God forbid. For if I build again the things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. For I, through the law, am dead to the law, that I might live unto God. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness came by the law, then Christ is dead in vain." And then starting in verse 1 of chapter 3, "O foolish Galatians," he says, "who hath bewitched you that ye should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth crucified among you? This only would I learn of you, received ye the Spirit by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? Are ye so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are ye now made perfect by the flesh?" So I was thinking this week, as I was getting this ready, thinking about what I was going to speak about, and it's just a strange time, and we've heard it so many times. You've heard the news, and I don't want to go into all that. I'm almost tired of hearing the word. I am tired of hearing the word. But so I'm not going to say it. But here we are, we're waiting, and we're not sure exactly what we're waiting for. We're just waiting. We're not exactly sure how long we're going to be waiting, but nonetheless, every one of us is waiting, and we're at home for the most part. We're waiting. And it's the funniest thing, because we can look out across the whole world, and we see that the whole world is also just waiting. And through all this time, I'm sure some of our thoughts have been similar. You have some of those nagging thoughts that come on. And you have thoughts like, well, when is this going to end? Or How long can we last like this? Possibly staying apart from each other for an indefinite period of time. We have thoughts like, what am I going to do if? What am I going to do? How am I going to make money? What am I going to do? How did we get here? And there's many other thoughts that we have and can have, and our minds kind of race with those thoughts, and we have to take them captive. But one thing that this should show us, all this that's going on, is how quickly things can change. We know that we've seen signs of the times up until now. We know that we've felt the birth pains of what is to come. But then when it happens, it seems to happen so quickly. When the world walks around and says, peace, peace, maybe that's not exactly so. But we see things happening quickly. If it were reported a month ago that unemployment rates today were going to be dropping rapidly, that the economy was going to be completely disrupted, that simple necessities that we took for granted so easily were going to be hard to come by in the grocery store, most of us would have scoffed and we would have said, that's impossible. There's no way. I went to buy some zinc today, you know, with our vitamins, our normal vitamins, and I went to buy zinc and you almost couldn't find it. It's more than a month out once you order zinc. I'm not going to get it until the middle of April. And on top of that, some of it's so expensive that you really don't even want to buy it. But so much can happen in such a short period of time. So much can happen in a month. So much can happen in a day. And as I was thinking about that, I thought back to 2 Kings. I thought about this prophecy that Elisha gave in 2 Kings 7. And he says this to the Israelites. He says, "Hear ye the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord, tomorrow about this time shall a measure of fine flour be sold for a shekel, and two measures of barley for a shekel in the gate of Samaria." And a shekel, you got to understand, was nothing. It was cheap. And so what Elisha is saying in the midst of a famine that's going on in that land is in one day, the famine was going to stop. In one day, things that were so pricey because of the famine were going to now be cheap in a day. It sounded impossible that to these people that famine was just going to end that quickly, because they were living in a day where there was literally nothing to eat. They were going around trying to sell donkey. They were selling donkey heads to eat. And donkey heads were 40 pieces of silver. They were selling bird dung for 5 pieces of silver. So for Elisha to come along and prophesy something that was going to change so drastically, it was met with complete unbelief. And one of the king's men said this as they were scoffing. They said, "Behold, if the Lord would make the windows in heaven, might this thing be?" Almost like saying, this is impossible. It's never going to happen. But in one day, it came to pass. The famine was over. Things changed drastically. And the man who scoffed was not able to see it because he lost his life. But here we are today, and we've learned firsthand that a lot can happen in a day. For years before all of this, it's been conveyed that in this world that we can be masters of our own destinies. We've almost have come to believe and accept that philosophy, that we can be masters of our own destiny, that if we work hard enough, that we'll be better people, that we will earn enough, that we will make a home for ourselves, that we will create a fortune and a kingdom of our own, and we can put our stock and trust in those things. If we do things the right way, that we'll make it, that we'll be liked even. We've come to believe that through that philosophy, that at the core of who we are, that we're relatively good. But if that's true, then why are there so many that are depressed? Why are there so many having such a hard time with what's going on in the world today? Many people are scared. They're in fear. They're lonely. They're tired. They're empty. And they haven't put their trust in Jesus Christ alone. And so when these times like this come, it rocks the very foundation. It rocks the very core. We talked a little bit last week about about that happening, about your foundation being rocked. But it seems like everyone just is so easily rocked. Everyone trying hard to have people like them, and they live their lives on other people's favor or other people's desire to like them. They post themselves on Facebook, on Instagram, on Twitter, on YouTube, on Snapchat, on TikTok, and there's many others that I don't even know how many there are, but there's all kinds of them. But in a day like the one we're living in, we want to try to control things as the best we can. And so we try harder. But let me ask you, how good are you supposed to be good enough? How good are you supposed to be where it will make you good enough? And then after that, who decides that we are good enough? Who decides that? There's one thing that we need today. And for many people, it's been missing in their lives, and they get to days and times like this, and they realize just how much they don't have that thing that gives them stability and a solid foundation. There's a song we sing in church, and the name of the song is Jesus Paid It All. And many people might know that song. I love that song. But it talks about how Jesus died for our sins. It talks about how his death was a payment for our sins. And the truth is, many people outside the church have heard that message. They have. They've heard the message that Jesus died for their sins. But the problem with hearing that message outside of the church is that it doesn't mean much unless you first understand how wretched you are, how spiritually bankrupt you are, how you have nothing to meet the needs that you really have in this life, that you're spiritually bankrupt. You're spiritually bankrupt. The truth is, we're all spiritually bankrupt. Many times we get so uncomfortable because when those hard times come, we are met more with the understanding that we are spiritually bankrupt, that we have nothing to draw on. And those times that require depth, we don't have anything to draw on. And then we try to go and we try to find comfort in our own abilities, thinking, surely this will give me comfort, that maybe I can go and do something that I like to do and it'll give me comfort. But the problem with finding and trying to find your own comfort and your own ability is it will make you miserable, ultimately, because it sets you at odds with the God of all ability and all comfort. He has designed you to want to find comfort in Him. And so when we try to find comfort in anything else, it does not satisfy. Matter of fact, it leaves us desperate and thirsty for more of something we don't know what it is. But we have to see, we need to see, especially in days like this, that there's nothing in us that's desirable, that we are all wretched. We are all wretched. How do I speak to people and tell them the way to God, the way to Jesus Christ, if I don't first understand my own wretchedness and the fact that all I can do is point to the cross of Christ? That's all I can do. We are all wretched. Paul says in Romans 7:24, he says, "Oh, wretched man that I am." He's coming to a realization of just who he is. He says, "Oh, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from the body of this death?" And then he realizes and knows. He says, "I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord." So you have the problem in Paul's wretchedness, and you have the solution in Jesus Christ's holiness. You will only receive salvation when you understand that you don't have anything to do with any of it. You can't have anything to do with it because you're unable to have anything to do with any of it. Jesus paid it all. Jesus paid it all. And even if you've been in church for a long period of time, we have to come back to the place where you understand that Jesus paid it all. Jesus paid for your forgiveness. Jesus paid for your eternal life. Jesus paid for every blessing that you have and every part of life that you've experienced. Jesus paid it all for you to have every ounce of everything. But in order to get to that place, we have to declare complete bankruptcy to understand that. Complete bankruptcy. Are you relying on Jesus Christ today? Or have you begun to rely on yourself, rely on the government, rely on your friends, rely on your job, rely on your family? All those things will be rocked and can be rocked and surely will in the future. But Jesus Christ gives you every blessing. Jesus Christ is immovable, unshakable. He is the solid foundation. I can't get away from this message. Maybe you've never received Him as your Lord and Savior. Today could be your day. Today could be your day where you build a new foundation, where you grow up in Christ, where you no longer try yourself, but you understand your bankruptcy before Him, and you accept Him to be your Savior, your God, your Christ, and He becomes your foundation. Maybe you've received salvation before today, and you remember, initially, you remember entering into the kingdom of God by God's grace alone. But since then, you started to try to live by works. You entered in by grace, and then you decided that you had to do something else to earn God's favor. Maybe things seemed like they were going well for a while, and you thought, well, I'm starting to get better. I'm starting to be okay now. Look at the things that I'm doing. And you felt like for a moment, maybe for longer than a moment, that you came out of bankruptcy, that you now had a little cash in the bank, and you started to do good things, as we all try to do. And after those good things, you start to struggle again. You start to struggle with sin. You don't do the things that you thought you should have done. And that goes on for a time, and then you find yourself falling spiritually flat on your face. And you start thinking, well, I've messed up everything. I messed up God's blessings. I messed up my relationships. And the idea starts coming to your head that God's blessings somehow depend on how you feel that you're living the Christian life. And Paul had a remedy to this thinking. And the remedy was truth, the truth of the Word of God. And maybe you're struggling with continuing to live in God's grace, because we have to live in God's grace every day. And the struggle isn't so much that we have to be good, because we can't be good, but the struggle is continuing to understand that we have to live in grace every single day, every single minute, every single hour, every waking hour. And so Paul's remedy is our remedy today. He says, I do not frustrate the grace of God. For if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. He says, I do not frustrate the grace of God. I'm not going to challenge the grace of God. I'm not going to act like I need something beyond the grace of God. He says, I do not frustrate it. Righteousness doesn't come by doing. Righteousness comes by believing in Jesus Christ and living in the grace of God. Later in Galatians 3:3, he says, are you so foolish? Having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh? Sometimes we get foolish, and we think we can add to salvation, that we must have to do something further. That surely God's angry at us. He's mad. But we come to the place where we understand that we, as we are, even though we've been in the church, we are still bankrupt. We're still bankrupt. And we're still in need every day of God's grace. If anything, this time that we're living in reminds us how small we are, how incapable we are, how helpless we are. But that's the position we need to be in every day, when we live for Christ. So many times we put on pride, we put on ability, we put on honors, we put on our degrees, we hang on the wall. But if anything, these recent days have to remind us that all we have is God's grace. And if we have nothing else, then we should be completely happy in God's grace. We should be completely satisfied in God's grace. And so maybe this is a day we need to look and say, Lord, forgive me for adding to your grace. Forgive me for frustrating the grace of God. Lord, help me to be content with just the fact that you paid it all. That, Lord, if I have nothing else, I've got you. But you're everything. I have the grace of God. Help me not to add to the grace of God, Lord, but help me to understand that grace is enough. He said to Paul, or Paul said, my grace, the Lord said to Paul, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. What we have to understand every day is that we are weak, completely weak, and we need God's grace every minute of every day, and thank God for his grace. Stop relying on yourself. Fall on the mercy of God's grace every day, every hour, every minute. I want to tell you that he loves you. He looks at you and you are the apple of his eye. Rely on him today. If you've never accepted him as your Savior, today can be your day. With all of your heart, just pray with me today. And you can say something as simple as, Lord, forgive me. I realize that I am spiritually bankrupt before you. I realize, Lord, that I am a complete sinner. Father, that I have made a mess of life. And Father, I don't add up. I fall short of the glory of God. But Lord, I accept you today as my Savior. I ask you to come into my heart. Forgive me of my sins. Wash me clean. Make me new. Help me to live by the grace of God. Save me. If you've been saved for some time and you've started to live again by the law of God, by performance, ask God to forgive you. And ask God to help you to live in his grace every day. To live in his grace is to live in his joy, to live in his peace, to live as in his acceptance, to live in his strength. So say, Lord, help me to live in your grace. Help me to be lifted up in your arms, Lord, not in my own pride, Father, but Lord, in your grace, in your complete acceptance, in your power. Help me to walk as you would have me to walk. Lord, I thank you. I bless you today. Father, be with us as we go throughout this next week, these next couple weeks, however long this is going to be, Lord, and help us to find our strength in you. Help us to find our joy in you every day. We love you, Lord, and we thank you. We praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.